our first lesson, introducing Psalms 23, we pointed out to you the position it was placed in the psalm, particularly the psalm before it and the psalm after it. And of course, the Psalms 22, which begins, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, is about the prophecy concerning the death of Christ, dying for us and being pierced in his hands and his feet. And then Psalms 23, of course, is a great psalm of provision. And Psalms 24, where it says in the seventh verse, lift ye up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. The King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It's to remind us that this shepherd is the Savior. He's the shepherd, but he's also the coming king. And as we begin to work through this, we noted particularly about the fact that it was the Lord is my shepherd. And just a couple more things on that. I think it's interesting to see here that it's capital L-O-R-D. And, of course, you know that when it's capital L-O-R-D, it has reference to Jehovah, a reference to where in the book of Exodus, Moses was being spoken to out of the burning bush concerning his role in delivering Israel from Egypt. And you want to know who was speaking to him. And they said, the Lord said, I am that I am, that he's the eternal one. But also, there's something a little deeper about this. We don't have the word Elohim, which concerns creation. Elohim is kind of impersonal, the mighty God. It's less about relationships. We don't have even the word Adonai used here, which is also translated Lord, but in smaller letters. Adonai has to do with him being the master, the Lord, the master, and we the servants. But here, it doesn't even use the term, you know, the king or our fortress or the almighty God or the holy one. But when it uses the word Lord, Jehovah, it's really one of the more personal terms, names for the Lord. And you can see in this whole psalm how he wants to be very personal and have a personal relationship with us. As we find in Revelation, where he's talking about standing outside the church and knocking on the church door, trying to be the center of the church again, not having anything to do with really salvation. But he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and be and he with me. And so the Lord's trying to say, every individual member of the church can have an opportunity to have a personal relationship with Jehovah God, personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that he wants to have a personal relationship. I don't necessarily buy off into this idea that God had to do everything the way he did because he needs to have a personal relationship and he longs to have fellowship. Because God's self-sufficient and can do anything, he doesn't really need us. But nevertheless, he does care for us. And he does say there in Revelation that if you hear his voice and open up the door, he will come into us and he'll sup with him and he with me. And so there is a possibility to as the song we sing, I am beloved and he is mine and his banner over me is love. Also, I think that, again, we're just kind of trying to drive slow and look at the scenery as we go through this psalm. And I know that in the day in which we live, it's pedal to the middle and we get going where we're going. But we're going to slow down here. And he says, the Lord is. It doesn't say the Lord was my shepherd. It doesn't say the Lord will be my shepherd. It doesn't say the Lord can be my shepherd. But he says the Lord is my shepherd. And so that little word is, It means a couple of things. It means, first of all, that here in real time, it's in real time. It's he is my shepherd right now, at this very moment. He's my shepherd. And I think also it implies not only right now, but right here. It's just whatever situation I find myself in, not just here on Sunday morning or on Wednesday night, but when I go to my workplace, when I'm facing difficulties, when as a sheep I'm nervous about which way to go. Well, the Lord is my shepherd. And of course, we could emphasize also the word my, that he's mine, and he's mine personally, that I can claim him 100% for myself, yet he can still be shared with all of us. All right, now, we'll see how far we get here. Let's look at and think about this word, I shall not want. Sometimes, if we keep using this illustration of sheep, sometimes we may look beyond our meadow, look beyond our pasture, and begin to desire more than what our real wants are or our real needs are. And God's simply saying, listen, everything that's necessary for life, everything that's necessary for you, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to provide for your every need. We may not say this vocally, but I think sometimes we think it. You know, I wonder if God can take care of this, or what's going to happen here, or boy, it's a real problem that I'm facing, and somehow, we as sheep, we think that we're not going to get fed what we need if we're talking again about the meadow. And so I'm going to have to go over the hill. I'm going to have to go where I'm going to have my needs met, and we forget that God's already way ahead of us. That the shepherd knows exactly what we need, and the shepherd actually, when a shepherd in the meadows of the mountains, he's actually grazes some sheep here for a while. He don't want them to overgraze, and so he'll move them around to another place. And he's always got in mind, and he's always thinking ahead of what the needs are going to be, when they need to go to water, how he's going to get them over there gently. And he doesn't, you know, the shepherd, whenever they've been grazing out on the meadow and the water is a bit of a distance away, he doesn't, you know, all of a sudden ride his horse out in there and grab them, you know, get them all up and stir them up and push them over to the water. No, he gradually has moved them throughout the day over to the water. And I think that sometimes we have knee-jerk reactions, and that we want to, I want it, and I wanted it yesterday. I want these needs met, and I want them met now. And just understand that the shepherd knows all about it. He's not been confused about anything. He knows what's going on, and he has a purpose, and he's going towards that purpose. And so let's just look at some verses. Look in Psalms 84 and verse 11. Psalms 84 and 11. For the Lord, here we have the capital L-O-R-D, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Look at these words here. The sun coming up. Pastor says gloomy today. There's no sun. The sun will come out. He's a shield for us that nothing's going to get to us, that he doesn't want to get to us. He shields us. The Lord will give grace for the time of need and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now, is that true or not? Yeah, it's true. But is it true? Was it true yesterday? Was it true last month? Was it true? Is it going to be true next year? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Of course, there's a requirement there. God's not going to bless us when we're not walking uprightly. But it's not, you know, and I think sometimes we can think, I've thought this, and, you know, that God always gives himself an out. You know, if he's not answering my prayer, then it must be that I'm not walking uprightly. But God, it's not a matter of God covering his bases. He's just simply saying, I'm not going to bless a person who's in rebellion any more than a parent is going to bless a child who's in rebellion. But the promise here is that no good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Look over in Psalms 34. In Psalms 34 and verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Again, when we put the Lord first, we fear the Lord out of respectful fear that we're not going to have any wants that aren't met. Then how about Isaiah 40 and verse 11? Talks about the Lord coming in verse 10, and then he says, He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. There's no benefit to the shepherd if he doesn't feed his flock. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. What's the picture here? I mean, it's one of care. It's one of love. It's one. The picture, you know. I mean, here's a young lamb, and he's struggling. He can't keep up, and so he just picks him up and holds him, and he walks along, carrying him along. And he's trying to, you know, paint a picture for us that there are times spiritually that we're going to seem like we can't take another step. And what does the Lord do? Well, he gently leads us along, or sometimes he picks us up and he carries us. Romans says, what shall we say then to these sayings, talking about glorification and sanctification and those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? When we begin to question God's direction in our lives, we begin to question God's will for our lives, when we begin to question the place that we find ourselves in today, and we wonder if God really cares, if he really knows, if it really matters, if God is really involved in my life, if he really is my shepherd, after all, there's 7 billion people in the world. Does he really even have time for me? Well, all you need to do is remember that there was a dark day in history when Jesus cried from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God the Father forsook him for us. And shame on me, and shame on you, for ever questioning God's love for us. He proved it at the cross. And so, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so, just how deep are the reserves of this shepherd? How much of a supply does he have to meet my needs? Well, in a physical way, Haggai says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Psalms 24, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalms 50, we're in Psalms. Go to Psalms 50 and verse 10. Psalms 50 and verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. And so, he owns it all. Go to Jeremiah 31. I know that that as men, especially as Alaskan men, that we are rednecks, we're so self-sufficient. We take our new bride out to the bear stand just so she'll know that we're tough Alaskans. You know, today's the day, so be ready to have your car messed up and all that. Just get ready. But we are tough, you know. We're the guys. These mamby-pambies that come up from the lower 48, they don't even know what it's about. Yeah, deep down inside, especially Texas, but deep down inside, we need to be loved. And we know, all of us, have a desire to be loved, to be cared for. And Jeremiah 31 and verse 3 says, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. This shepherd is not moved. He doesn't vacillate. Even when God's resisting the proud, even when He's resisting this, God resists the proud because of grace and hope. Even when God's resisting the proud, even when Hebrews 12 is kicked in, and I'm getting chastised by God. He's loving me with an everlasting love. It's continual love. The shepherd's love doesn't vacillate. And the reason that he's giving me a spanking in the first place is because he loves me. He doesn't want to see me go any further distance. And so I'm just saying that when we come to the God of the Bible, He's so different than all the other gods, the other gods of the religion. Would you want Allah, the Allah of the Muslim religion, to be your God? He doesn't care. That the Muslim thinks that his great role in life is to die and have 70 virgins. How shallow of a life is that? Our God is a God of everlasting love. He's prepared for us a wonderful future. And so, examining this shepherd, that I can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I do not want for love. I do not want for direction. I do not want for peace. And I think we'll probably see that later on here. I grow weary in the affairs of daily living. And how deep then are the provisions. He's the shepherd who said in Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He's a shepherd that says in Hebrews, he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's a shepherd that Hebrews 13 says, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He's a shepherd that when I am lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, he says that we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's a shepherd that says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, that we can approach him boldly and find grace in the time of need. Okay, so when he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it's just a statement of fact. It's a statement that that he will give to us and supply for us our needs. But also, this statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it's also a statement of determination. There was a Sunday school class where the teacher was challenging the students to learn Psalms 23, and there were young, early grades of school, and this one little girl said that she already knew it. She knew Psalms 23, and so the teacher doubted that, but said, okay. So she got up in front of the class and she said, "The Lord is my shepherd; I don't want." But really, she summed the whole thing up. If the Lord is our shepherd, then there's no need to want. And so when we say the Lord is my shepherd, it's like Philippians says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Everything that we need for this life, particularly emotionally and spiritually, for our soul, he provides. But often we look off to the other side of the fence. Often Jesus is not more than life to us. This song is not in a hymn book, at least I couldn't find it under this title, but there's a song that goes, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have his riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus in houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-scarred, nail-pierced hands. And I don't have the rest of that, but it goes, than to be the king of a vast domain, to be held in sin's dread woe, and what's the rest of it? Is it in a hymn book? It's not underneath I'd rather have Jesus. Let's look at it if it is. 1936. What's the name of it? It is. I guess I don't know how to spell today. All right. Yeah, I got it. I just want to make sure I didn't, how bad I messed up here. I don't see it in the back of the hymn book. Oh, I see it. I see it. I found it. I stand corrected. All right. I'd rather have Jesus in silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. And to be the king of a vast domain or to be held in sin's dread sway, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of the rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead. You see, what we don't understand, we don't understand what real riches are. I think I'm afraid even this morning as I teach this, and he says, you know, that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills and all those things, and that when the psalmist says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Our minds immediately, and I think first, go to material needs and physical needs. And we don't understand where the riches are. We don't understand where the real wealth is. Was Elvis Presley wealthy? Well, he had money, but he was a beggar spiritually and didn't even know it. He's like the king with no clothes. He thought he had it. Was Frank Sinatra, who sang the song, I Did It My Way? He didn't ever bow. And most of all, you know, the song, I Did It My Way. Was he wealthy? Was he rich? Well, the shepherd provides, and the shepherd takes care of me. Look over in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Now, he says for us to not be covetous. He refers to the worldly things, the material things. He says, be content with what you have. And then he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The shepherd is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put a price on that. That I'm at the hour of death. I talked to Brother Gary Baumgartner just within 24 hours before he died. And he said, "Brother, I was preaching a meeting in Oregon, and he said, "Brother, if I knew how easy it was going to be to die, I never would have fought it so long." Can you put a value on that? How much is that worth? Hudson Taylor said that when he died, he would be like a little boy at the last day of school, running from the schoolyard, knowing that he had all summer vacation to himself. Can you put a value on that? You see, there's riches that go beyond material riches. And there are riches that cannot be valued. They cannot be given a monetary value. They just can't be measured that way. Look in Psalms 37. Psalms 37. And verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And of course, when I delight in the Lord, his desires become my desires. "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Okay, so "I shall not want" is a statement of fact. "I shall not want" is a statement that I'm not going to want. You know, I say, someone asked somebody if they're going to go, and they said, "I'm not going to go. I shall not go." Well, I also say, "I shall not want." I need to come to a place in my life where my focus has changed from dwelling in the mud and the muck of this world, where my focus is, where the world has lost its ropes and ties that it has on me, and I'm just going to stand up and say, "I don't want anything." Even like this job that I've applied for over at FMH, it's really strange how I feel about this whole thing. If the Lord wants me to have it, that's fine. If he doesn't, that's fine, because I don't want. And it may be an opportunity to minister further, and with it, the benefits of being paid for what you love to do. But I shall not want. And the third way that I shall not want, if you look over in Romans 8 and 18, "For I reckon," Paul's doing a little accounting here, Romans 8, 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," did Paul suffer at all? Was he ever left for dead? Was he ever stoned? Was he ever escaped for his life out of any cities? "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He says, not even when we think about all this life, when the Lord's our shepherd, it's not even worth the time to sit down and make a comparison. This and 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 this. Not even worth the time to compare, because the glory in the future is so much greater. Look in 2 Corinthians 4. And 17. Uh, that's not it. Oh, 4. 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but to the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, when we get to heaven, we won't even need to ask the question as we pass each other on the streets of gold. How you doing? I'm doing mighty fine, thank you. There'll be no negatives because our shepherd has prepared for us a place. I'll not want. We struggle here. Our shepherd's right with us. He's conformed to the image of his son. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I need to determine in my mind that I'm not going to go around, I want, I want, I want, I want. I owe, off to work I go. But that one of these days, we're going to go home. And it'll be, can you just imagine it? Pastor drug out of bed this morning. Brother Gerth and I get out of bed and we realize, yeah, that old Arthur's chasing us. There'll be no wants because our shepherd is the Lord. Okay? You're dismissed.